Meow. 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 This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, an intergalactic prairie studios where we alter your locus release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degree Fahrenheit to keep a sinful estatism out of your head. Can you feel it, James Weeks? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
I feel it.
And I am Jim Jesus, and this show is covered by a Bitcoin, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at bitcoin.org.
Meow. Meow, meow.
I think it's a healthy compromise. It's the state actors thing. Don't you agree? It alleviates all confusion.
Yeah. I like that term. It's a weird term, and it's a correct geopolitical term. And most people think you mean like the guy who played the president in Independence Day. State actors.
I think that applies as well.
Bill Pullman.
Yeah,
Bill Paxton.
Bill Pullman's
it's
not
Bill
allowed.
Pullman, you fool. You know that reference?
No.
Did you guys ever see The Simpsons where Homer becomes smart because he gets the crayon removed from his brain? It turns out when he was 7, he hammered a crayon into his nose and it went into his brain, and that's why he's so stupid. And he got it surgically removed, and he got really smart and could finally like get along with Lisa on her level. But this is the Freedom Fiends. We talk about anarchy and libertarianism and then just explain what happened on The Simpsons 20 years ago. So he becomes really smart, but like nobody else can relate with him. So he doesn't have any friends anymore. And so he gets the doctor to put the crayon back in his nose. But at the beginning, when it's, you know, when he's just barely starting to become smart before he becomes super smart after the crayon's removed, he's doing things that, you know, like he's in a movie theater with Lisa and Bart watching a movie, and someone's like,
and the president was aptly played by,
it's the sea captain, the president's aptly played by Bill Paxton. And Homer says, it's Bill Pullman, you fool. And his delivery was wooden. Yeah.
See, that's when the Simpsons were relevant. They're not relevant anymore. Yeah, I can't stand to watch that show.
I don't even know that there's new Simpsons. Occasionally, I stumble on one and go like, this is like, to quote Homer about the internet 20 years ago, that's still a thing.
To start, press any key. I can't find the any key. Yeah.
You can buy any keys now because of that.
Oh.
You can buy an any key and glue it on your computer. I used to have one.
Yeah, and also, like, if he keeps calling them Super Nintendo Chalmers, most people aren't going to get it anymore.
yeah. Whereas Pokemon references now work again.
Yeah, Pokemon Chalmers doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah. It's not as funny. Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't understand why they just didn't cancel The Simpsons and just continue on with Futurama and then put something else in Futurama's place when that started getting old, too.
Because people are stupid.
Well, they messed up.
They messed up on that.
They messed up big time on that. They should have definitely kept going with Futurama, because Futurama was still good when they finally ended it, and they kind of just let Simpsons stop.
Oh, it was a vast right-wing conspiracy. You know that Al Gore's daughter was one of the main writers on Futurama, right?
Ew.
Yeah,
that's why he does so many cameos on that show. He does himself with his voice a bunch.
Yeah, I liked his cameo better in the South Park with Man Bear Pig.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good cameo.
Who was that? Oh, that's
Al Gore. Yeah, Al Gore was on the
hunt for Man Bear Pig.
Yeah, because how he was always like, we're on there's a serious threat to America, and it's global warming, and it just turned into Man Bear Pig. He was like half bear, half pig.
Now, have you played the South Park video game Stick of Truth?
Yeah, I haven't played it all the way through, but I have played it. I own it.
So if you ran into Al Gore on that, his cameo on that game was great.
Not yet.
And talk amongst yourselves, gentlemen. I'm gonna real quick. So sound check. How are you, James?
I am good.
How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well. I just had my birthday, and I saw an awesome show in Vegas, so I'm great.
Cool. And James, again, go ahead.
I'm good. Just had a wonderful time with the holiday weekend. So
yep.
How's that? Levels sound good?
I think he's still checking. There's like a 7-second delay that he's having to deal with on the GCN or LRN feed. So awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're gonna let's talk about that video game, the South Park. How far did you get in that?
I got to like the part where you're fighting all the kids from the Chinese diner or whatever.
Oh, so you're almost to Al Gore.
Oh, okay. So I should probably
get Al Gore. That's the episode title right there.
You should probably keep playing halfway that because what you gotta wait. Al Gore is just so funny at the game.
Yeah. So I just checked us out on the LRN feed because it's 30 seconds delayed. Because not because we cuss so much, but because it's 30 seconds delayed off the radio approximately because it's a streaming feed and streaming feeds have to buffer. But we sound good, man, and I like that we take the time we do, and I get angry at everybody because it makes shows so much better.
Yeah, I made a funny little infographic, and it has like a little girl, and she's sitting on Santa's lap, and she's telling Santa, "I want a dragon for Christmas," and he was like, "Come on, be realistic," and he's like, "Okay, I want libertarians to have good audio on their podcast and not use Yetis," and then Santa goes, "What color did you want that dragon?"
Is that an exploitable image, or did you actually come up with that?
I usually see comics or some like memeable, and then I can easily kind of figure out how I can apply like audio Nazism to it.
Is the blank of this before you put your stuff on it? What did it say? Nothing.
She said I wanted a girlfriend, she wanted a boyfriend.
And then Santa says, "What color do you want your dragon?"
Yeah.
Do they tell you what font to use, or does it like you type it in and it adds the font?
What I usually do is I see it and then I know what it says and then I remove it completely and then I add it with the same font, which is the comic book font.
Comic Sans.
No, not Comic Sans.
Oh yeah,
it actually is a comic Sans. Yeah, there's actually a comic book font that actually looks more like a comic book.
It's supposed to look like hand lettered, like by some guy in the 40s.
I use Comic Sans at work for important business stuff.
I love that picture I love the backlash on Comic Sans, and I really love the picture that's probably real. That's a photo of a Xerox of a printed piece of paper stuck on a door in an office somewhere that says it's like above the menu for or something for the company, and it says please people, we are do not use Comic Sans, we're a Fortune 500 company.
See, that's why I use it.
I'm a Fortune negative 500 company. So I got a good segue. My dad was actually in Fortune Magazine. He was either Fortune or Inc., one of those two, like, you know, magazines for the 200 white people who run the world kind of thing. And the other 2 million people that want to be those guys. And my dad was actually in one of those one time about 30 years ago. And he had like one tiny little quote. It was in this article about small businessmen, you know, who are like becoming bigger companies. Cause he owned back in the day. I mean, I would be a millionaire at some point if his second wife hadn't stolen all his money and then divorced him at age 90, and leaving him broke pretty much. But, he used to run companies and he used to own a couple companies where he signed paychecks himself every week for a company he owned for like, you know, 65 employees. One put plastic coatings on things and one stored grape juice concentrate. That one was funny because he had to, he got a lot of kosher orders, so he would have to hire rabbis, and they'd drive in from Buffalo an hour later, and he'd have to, like, when it was time for the output of the, you know, the stuff to be shipped to the next phase. He'd have to hire three rabbis that were certified to do this, put them up in hotels, you know, pay for their travel, and then pay them a lot of money to like come in and walk around with a clipboard and like poke a vat with a pencil and go, yep, it's kosher. So they could signify it kosher.
So that's how they do that.
That's how they do it.
It's a rabbi with a pencil who pokes the stuff.
It's a rabbi with a measuring tape and a pencil. I'm not kidding. And they were fully dressed like, you know, Hasidic rabbis. This is, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So in this quote, his quote was, I've worn many hats in my day, you know, meaning run, you know, done many things in many companies. I've worn many hats in many companies of mine. None of them have made me rich, but that's how I make my living. And I love that. And it's kind of inspired me to like do what I do. And that's why you should buy Bitcoin and please donate. I should just make a hashtag. It wouldn't even fit in a tweet. Hashtag, I've worn many hats in my day. None of them have made me rich, but that's how I make my money. That's the name of the show.
It is a right good there. Quote.
It is great.
It's a quote. Jack of all trades, but master of none. Hashtag. Yep.
And his name's Jack.
No, that makes it even better.
Yeah. And his name's not, it's not like his name's John and they call him Jack. His name on his birth certificate was Jack. Isn't that weird?
That's awesome. That makes it even better.
I've never met anyone whose real name is Jack. I knew Jack Dean. I worked with Jack Dean for one summer. And you, sir, are Jack Dean.
Yeah, Jack's one of those weird... Jack is actually just a short name for something else.
Jackanoff?
It's Russian. Okay. Kenoff.
Speaking of Russian, kind of segueing everywhere. Somebody translated the announce page of Bipcot on of Bipcoin on Bipcot on God, I can't remember what it was, on Bipcoin Talk, you know, the big everyone's on it.
Bipcoin Talk.
You know, forum. BipcoinTalk.org. translated our whole long, like, everything about you need to know about Bitcoin into Russian this week. So, how awesome is that?
That's pretty awesome.
Let's hope it doesn't get hacked.
Hackers. Well, the guy's actually Ukrainian. All the cool Russians are Ukrainian, and they kill you for that. So that's like saying, oh, you know, like if you're in Dublin and saying, like, you know, oh, it's great to be here in England. You know, to the wrong people.
United Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally, the first time I went to Dublin, or the only time I went there, I was with some punk rock dudes, and I was like, man, it's so cool to be here in Ireland. And they're like, shh, you're going to get killed, man. We'll be back in the war after this trip to the market.
Is it Jameson or Bushmills?
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. All right, open it.
Oh, what's
the other cool thing?
Oh, man. It looks like an eye.
Yeah.
You and you have two of them there, so it kind of looks like there's a
the same
part of a face looking at me.
I should take my avatar and replace my eyes with these. No, I'll reveal this later. It's I had a little work done recently. People are going to be like, what? I'll talk about it later. All right, so what do you think, James?
I think it's an eyeball.
Yep. It's kind of horrific.
Is the eye of Horus there?
Yeah, people are thinking like
the third eye,
ball tattoo. No, that's Jim. So,
might want to squeegee that thing.
My 95-year-old dad got. Well, here's the thing. Like, now I'll talk about it later. All right. So, Bob, no, wait, stop. Hang on. Bob's trying to climb.
Darn cats.
Got to deploy the Catmaster 300, this cardboard I put over my mixer. So, Bob, stop it. Okay, I gotta take
care of this. That cat is just a mess. It's still kind of recovering from getting its
it's fine. You know, it's just a brat. Snips. It's just a brat.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll send you a picture. But so my dad got shipped off to a home this week, finally.
Aww.
At age 95, which kind of sad, but kind of good because he's like, he's not really senile, but he's kind of needs help, but not enough that like, you know, must have live-in nurse or anything. But basically, like, he will die trying to still be young. And that's a good thing, because I've got that in me, too. I'll die that way, too. But, like, he's 95, and he's been out shoveling the walk, like, in upstate New York. You don't do that. So he got shipped off to a sunnier state where one of my relatives lives, and they can visit him a lot.
Is it like an assisted living thing, or...?
Yeah, like a night.
Oh, okay, so that's not too bad. And at 95, he's doing pretty well. We're just now getting into that.
Oh, yeah.
Usually they're there a whole lot earlier.
Most people go there when they're 68 and then die when they're 73. Yeah.
Is it like a home or like a community kind of thing?
He has his own room.
Yeah, usually the assisted livings, they have... like nurses and aides on staff.
Don't you work at one of these, Jim?
No, I work in an Alzheimer's unit. The assisted livings, they pretty much live on their own, and then they come in usually around mealtimes and make sure that they're able to cook and all that stuff by themselves.
Did you see the documentary about who's the famous country singer guitarist that has Alzheimer's? Glenn Campbell.
Did you see that documentary?
Not, no. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You got to see this, Jim. You love documentaries. I'm sure you don't consider watching more Alzheimer's as recreation. You know, kind of like most people on the weekend, like, I'm going to go out and ride my bike. And when I was a bike messenger, like, I wanted to spend the weekend in a dark basement smoking and taking drugs. But, no, watch it. Google right now while we're talking, because we'll talk about a little bit in the next segment. Google Glenn Campbell Alzheimer's. And it's a documentary that his wife made, you know, his hot 45-year-old trophy wife, and he's like 75. Great country musician. I've loved this guy forever. Country, pop, everything. Actually, like, played in the Wrecking Crew, you know, that backup band. Do you know about them?
No. It looks like the whole documentary is on YouTube.
Yeah, so. It is. Bookmark that. Also, two other movies to watch. One is Standing in the Shadows of Motown, and the other is the Wrecking Crew documentary. Those two are both about like backing studio in-house bands that played on like a million hits, like, you know, a million songs you've heard. And then, you know, just like one day, like, you've been replaced by computers. Go home. You know?
Oh, and no, like, it's not on YouTube. It's actually one of those fake ones. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of those, like, it plays like 3 seconds of it, and then it goes into like, you know, like, click here. Yeah.
So speaking of families is the peoples that you hate. I want to talk a little bit about presents from people who mean well, especially family, who you wish they never gave you the present. And I had an example of that today. My brother sent me a probably 200-page photocopied document of a handwritten manuscript he wrote about a schooner that sank in Florida 200 years ago. And like quest to find it, or a boat, and something I would never read if it was a movie with stars I liked. I wouldn't even watch it. You know, he writes these. I wouldn't really call them books, but he puts pen to paper a lot, and sends handwritten thing. Like, and he sent it to me. I opened it up. I was like, oh Jesus! Like, oh, maybe it's a Christmas present. It's late, but. Oh Jesus. You know, it's basically like, here's homework. and the envelope he sent it in was moldy. Like, here, brother with asthma that nearly killed you, have some mold.
No. When I was born, they threw away the mold. Some of it grew back.
The hamster and your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. Yeah. So tell me about your childhood, Michael.
Show me in the doll where Molyneux touched you.
All right, so. Oh, by the way, before you begin, I did upload a video today, and it was called Stefan Molyneux's Why I Was Wrong About Libertarians, but every time Molyneux makes an argument, it doubles in speed. And it never doubles in speed.
I like it. Yeah. So
go ahead.
All right. So the cool thing about the guy translating that intro page about into Russian about Bitcoin, and I tweeted this. You can go check the Bitcoin official tweet. I think it was the last tweet on it with a link to this.
If you That's go. Bitcoin, not Bitcoin.
Right. If you want to go, thank yeah. you. If you want to go look at some really cool letters that look like they belong on an old rifle, talking about Bitcoin. The other cool thing is that he's going to translate the wallet software text, which isn't even that much text, of, you know, all the error messages and like alerts, and all the text in software is usually not a lot of text. So he's going to translate that, and we're going to make Russian versions of the wallet. Maybe we should nice. Put a picture of Jim with a little hat, a little Russian hat in the wallet.
There's a video of me in front of a Soviet flag with the Yushchanka on.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'd use the Soviet flag at all because a lot of people into cryptocurrencies are in Ukraine. They're huge there. Probably because, you know, Russia wants to own them and they want to be free for the most part, free to be their own state, you know. But hey, the smaller the better, and I always root for the underdog anyway in most fights, you know, especially when it's like that kind of fight. And I, you know, there's actually a Ukrainian cryptocurrency called Karbovanik, which is it's like Bitcoin, you know, it's a crypto kind of flaking on the word crypto night, you know. Coin.
Crypto note?
Like, yeah, crypto note. Crypto night is the algorithm. Crypto note is the code. Yeah, it's one of the, like, you know, there's only like 8 or 10 or 12, depending on what passes for a working currency. There's, you know, let's say 8 or 9 crypto notes, and Karbovanik is one of them, and it's really getting popular. So cryptocurrencies are big in Ukraine. You don't want to, you know, they Ukrainian is its own language, kind of, but it's kind of like a dialect, like people that no one can read the other, you know. Mm-hmm. That saying by Bill Bryson, a language is language is just a dialect with an army, and it's true. It is very true. So, you know, I think it'd be cool if we made a Russian version of it, because people in that speak another language, usually young people, especially into cryptos, can usually speak enough English to like kind of suffer through using the software and reading the tutorials. But they really, if you do a translation and do it right, people tend to really feel like, man, these people really give a crap, you know, and they'll like adopt it more, which would be cool, because I like that part of the world. I like, you know, weird, cool places that I'll never probably visit. Jim is going to Russia, though, aren't you?
Yeah. The plan is to go sometime in the summer. So
yeah,
we'll see how that pans out, because I was supposed to go last summer.
But you don't want to put Russian flags in something, or any Russian nationalistic icons, first of all, in any cryptocurrency, you know, in anything with the BIPCOT license. But second of all, in anything that you would want people in the Ukraine to use, because a lot of people in the Ukraine really hate Russia. It's a very common sentiment there, and I kind of don't blame them.
I could see there's being a very legitimate reason as to why Ukraine might not like them very much.
They want to have their own dictators. They don't want their Russian dictator. They don't want Putin. Putin. So so that's going to happen. But the really cool thing is that he's going to translate the BIPCOT no government license also into Russian. Now, I'm actually asking him to do that first before the software stuff, because I think that could be something that would really lead to a lot of adoption of the BIPCOT license. So I'm kind of having an open call for any listeners who speak another language well enough to translate, to drop me a line. You can write to BIPCOIN, Bravo India Papa Coin, BIPCOIN@gmail.com, or just leave a message on the Freedom Feed site. You know, looking for translators. And this is not like a big project. It's not, hey, translate my book. It's translate a half page of text. It would probably take a half hour to do it and check it. And then I'd have someone else who speaks the same language translate it. And no, I'm not going to use Google Translate. Google Translate's good enough to like I've been reading some stuff in Russian now because people are posting in Russian about Bitcoin. And Russian Translate, I mean, Google Translate will like basically tell you enough of a translation to see if they like it or hate it, but not specifically everything they're saying. A lot of subtleties are lost.
Yeah, Google Translate is not as good as what it's. What's really cool is they have that one thing where you can the translate on the phone, where you can like put it over text and it'll just translate the word in like on.
You mean
whatever,
from your voice?
No, that'd from like signs. That's one feature I really like about it, because it, you know, signs, you don't need to really know. Giant text of dot. You know, it's not. There's not going to be much.
Don't go
lost
here,
in it.
You'll die.
Yeah, exactly. You'll able to see. Don't go here, you'll die. What's really cool about it is the Google Translate app. I don't know if you've played with it. It uses your camera and then actually like on the sign takes and replaces the word, which I think is really cool. Which is
That's the next thing really in next generation of internet is. You know, augmented reality. I mean, Pokemon kind of like really, people have been working on it for decades, but, and a lot for about 5 years, but really Pokemon Go really, really like brought it to everybody. And that's the new thing is going to be like things, you know, layered over other things. You know,
yeah,
I was
mixed
thinking,
reality, augmented reality. That's like a really interesting future.
Mind blown today about a couple things of like, wow, what a time to be alive. Because, you know, and I don't want to get too much into it, like when I was your age, but you know, I'm older than a lot of our listeners. I'm 52 and a half, and I'm putting up my hands 52 and it's me. But when I was a kid, like photography was not digital. It was, you bought film, put it in a camera, took pictures, took it to the drugstore, dropped it off, waited a week, and then got the pictures. And like the film and the processing cost money. And if you wanted copies of the pictures, extra copies, that cost money. And you know, you could stick them in an envelope and mail them to somebody. It would take a few days. But it's like, I actually, we had a doctor's appointment today. I could not make it. We were snowed in. DJ didn't even go to work today, which is rare. She has a great work ethic. But we had 50 to 60 mile an hour winds today. And it snowed like 10 inches, I think, over the weekend.
What snow?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, it was like a snow-nado all over town today. I mean, I heard four people on my block today get caught in the snow for like a half hour each and have to get pushed out by pickup trucks or tow trucks. So I couldn't go see this doctor, and I had this thing I wanted him to look at. This sounds horrible, but okay, I'll explain it. Like 8 days ago, I had surgery. I didn't want to talk about it. Just because, I don't know, I like couldn't move or defend myself for a while, and I didn't want my haters going like, oh, he's incapacitated, let's ruin things and hack things. You know, like, I didn't want people to know I'm vulnerable, and I'm out of it enough now that, you know, I can talk about it. So I had umbilical hernia surgery, which is basically like, from coughing from my illness over the past couple of years, basically, my guts got pushed out to where my belly button was sticking out about an inch and a half. It's really gross. Was not very painful, but was kind of uncomfortable. If I ate a lot, it was really uncomfortable. And it could lead to like really serious stuff. So I wanted to get it taken care of, and I wanted to get it done before the end of the year so I didn't have to pay for it because my deductible was met. So, you know, and it's like $12,000 total with the surgery and the doctor and the follow-up and the surgeon and the anesthesiologist. So I had paid nothing, and I got this done, and I needed it done. So, the aftercare, like, you know, I was supposed to see the doctor today, and I could not make it, you know, see the surgeon for the aftercare. And it's healing well. I'm not in pain anymore. You know, it's not oozing or anything. It doesn't smell, but it was kind of red and a little puffy on one side where the sutures were. So I called the doctor up and talked to the physician's assistant, who's like, you know, almost a doctor these days. They can prescribe, they can, you know, they know what doctors know. So I asked her if I could do this, and she said, yeah. I took a picture of it. I had my wife take a really good picture of it, and I sent it to them. And the doctor said, like, yeah, it looks okay. I don't think you need to come in, but we're going to prescribe an antibiotic. And then I had to, like, pay our handyman with his pickup truck to go pick up my antibiotic and bring it to me. And I had to, like, fax something to the pharmacy of, like, yes, this person's authorized. Here's my driver's license. He can pick it up. But everything worked out, and I didn't have to leave the house. And I'm thinking about when I was a kid. Like, actually, when I was a kid, doctors really didn't make house calls anymore. But when I was 12, a doctor made a house call. That's like how old in the world I am, and how, you know, small town I was from. I was trying to eat mushrooms when I was a kid. I wasn't trying to get high, but I was already getting high on pot. But I was interested in mycology. I took a class on it and ended up eating false chanterelles, which are mildly poisonous. They won't kill you. You know,
yeah, I cooked them in the soup.
and my girlfriend and my mother had a bite, and they were like, and spit it out. And I ate the whole bowl because I made it. It's great. I'll just put more sauce and ketchup and salt in it. And I was like, you know, really, really freaking sick. And the doctor came over and made a house call, brought me Epicac so I could throw it up, and, you know, said, take two aspirin and call me in the morning, basically. So, but, you know, like, now, you know, try getting a doctor to make a house call in the snow in a blizzard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I basically like did telemedicine with my doctor, and it worked. And it, like, you know, I didn't have to worry, and I got antibiotics and didn't have to leave the house. Now I'm spoiled. I want to try this with my other seven doctors now.
Yeah, that's the way I have the future right there. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
But yeah, with, it's with like my it's healthcare, not in Wyoming yet, you know.
With my healthcare plan, I can there's this app, and what I can do is I can Skype. Basically do like a FaceTime. It's like a FaceTime thing, and you can FaceTime with a doctor, and he can prescribe you pretty much anything except for narcotics. You know, you'd have to go still
anything
go into
that's not really. That.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Although, yeah, you know, this was like, I was already in the care of this doctor, so it was no big deal for antibiotics, but.
Yeah, and they prefer that you do that. Because
I was baked.
Like, yeah, they don't charge you a deductible or anything like that, because it's a whole lot cheaper to have one of their doctors on staff do it than to have to pay for an office.
See, I want that. How do I get that?
I don't know if I'm going to get billed for this. Like, I won't pay. It'll be covered by insurance, but I'm going to watch the bill. I'm just curious how I'm going to bill for this if they do. But what a time to be live. Next up,
you're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
You do have the best meow in the game, Jim Jesus.
I can't do it right now.
This is MWD, Michael W. Dean, talking to Jim Jesus.
Are you there, Jim W. Jesus?
I like that. Everyone in the Fiends should have to use W as their middle name, middle initial.
libertarian cult that is the Freedom Fiends. And then we got James Weeks. I'm going to introduce James Weeks the same way every time. So James Weeks, you know, some of you may have heard, even some of our international listeners in the Ukraine. I just sent my buddy a link.
The Ukraine triggered.
The guy that's doing the translations. People around the world know who James Weeks is. They don't know his name, but they know his face and body. So James Weeks was a, not even to give any backstory. So at the Libertarian Party presidential convention, some meeting, broadcast on C-SPAN, government-controlled TV, to millions of people, and it had millions more view on YouTube. James Weeks, who is a large man, a full-figured man with a beard, looks like a big Viking, took off all his clothes and did a striptease. And people said, oh, it's the death of the Libertarian Party. All the libertarians got worried, and all the Libertarian Party people, those aren't really libertarians in my book, but and the people who hate libertarians said, see, this proves it. And then the real libertarians like us were like, man, that's the only thing that's ever happened good at anything with the Libertarian Party. Let's get that guy on our show.
So, and here I am.
Will that fit on a business?
Well, Harry Brown. I think the Libertarian died with Harry Brown.
Yeah, in what, 80?
Yeah.
No, he died like 5 years ago, didn't he? 10 years ago?
It was presidential run.
Yeah,
his last presidential run. Yeah, he was probably the last.
Yeah.
He was probably
Bednarik was okay. Bednarik, but.
So I have news.
Bednarik's a little crazy.
I have news. So. Interestingly, something happened over over the weekend, over Christmas. Bitcoin, who's our cryptocurrency's ticker symbol is BIP, B-I-P. You know, every cryptocurrency has one, and it's kind of imitating stock markets, I think. I don't even think it's needed. And the weird thing is, though, it's used as a unique identifier on in the background code of a lot of services like exchanges and listings and market capitalization, updating listings. And so we've had that and been using it in commerce since August when the coin launched, and are listed on one exchange using that, are listed on coinmarketcap.com with that, are listed on Cryptonator, a bunch of sites that like feed into other sites. So another coin that's actually not a coin, it's one of those Ethereum contracts that's a token. Ew. That's kind of like a coin. I know. That's going to make it horrible for everybody. It really
Ethereum.
Is.
Ethereum.
Like, yeah, like that everyone can make a coin before, but it was harder. And now, like, so basically some guy in Japan, I looked at their website. I think it was like, you know, a 19-year-old dude and his like 40-year-old uncle who's a businessman, you know, I think said, hey, uncle, I'm going to change the world. Invest money in my coin that is imitating something four other coins do that have a total market saturation, and mine brings nothing new to the table. So he made this thing called BitPark Coin. BitPark, all one word. I love that word. That should be the name of a band, but...
Yeah, it would be a sweet band name.
Yeah. But you, so
not a crypto
they picked currency, BIP, no. Which has really is not the right ticker for them. They should have picked BPC, which was not taken. But they picked BIP without bothering to check, you know, spend 1 minute doing what everyone does 5 minutes before launch, you know, a week before launching their coin when they're working on it, and 2 minutes before they hit, you know, build Genesis block to make sure it's not taken. Everyone checks that. It's what you do. And they didn't do that, so they released a coin with BIP as their symbol, and they paid a bunch of money to get on one exchange. We didn't pay any to get on ours, but there's other ones that charge money, and they paid a bunch to get on this other exchange. So, like 5 a.m. Saturday morning, I'm awake. One of our team members who's in Greece sent me this email. Hey, we're listed on a second exchange. I looked at it and said, like, yeah, BIP. You know, and it turned out to be this other coin. It caused problems. Anyway, some of them are fixing. but I think that our price is off still, like 300%, and it looks like it's staying there. So it caused a lot of problems, but it may have actually helped. It's weird. It's cool. And it's our real price, not our combined price with them, like it was showing until things got fixed. I got this fixed. They didn't really do much to get it fixed. I finally got her back from them, but I did it all. I built that. I fixed it. That's how I spent my Christmas recovering from surgery, was writing everybody and saying, hey, this is wrong. Fix it, please.
Yeah. So, well, I just still hope it goes up. So that way I can be able to afford my harem for a month.
Yeah, you want to buy some hookers?
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
We never established she was doing the intro.
Yeah, we're not.
Meow, meow.
Who did an intro?
No one yet. We still have a few more seconds before.
I know.
Oh, no, actually, we're good.
All right.
I don't know the intro, so this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a model of sea level and collective pair of studios where we alter your work locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasting toast. These 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep sending for the state is out of your head. James Weeks, Michael W. Dean, Jim Jesus, and of course, we're covered by the BEPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BEPCOT.org. BIP. Yeah. Not BIP. Yeah. BEPCOT.org. Yeah. So tell me more about your brother thing. You wanted to close.
Show me on the doll where my brother's good intentions touched me. Yeah. All right, so my brother's old. He means, oh my God. Oh, this picture. I have to send you guys this picture. This is the Freedom Fiends internet on the radio. I'm going to send you a picture that's a suggested image for me. I took the scar on my belly, the close up picture of it that I sent my doctor. I. Cut out just the like belly part that looks like an eye, and I made a copy of it and flipped it, and then so they're symmetrical, and then put them over the eyes of me in this picture from when I'm my school picture from when I'm 12.
Oh jeez.
Oh my God, I'm sending it to you guys, and you can just interrupt me and react and go ah, if you feel so inclined. And tell me, I just want your opinion if this should be the eyes have it picture for the show tonight.
I thought we were doing my dank meme picture for
I think MWD, this is a little damper, dude. I think you might get moved down to picture at the bottom of the post or save for another day. So yeah, so go ahead and check your email and just interrupt me when you see this.
I just see a cat chilling on your desk.
Oh yeah, the cat picture's cool. That's my cat. James.
S.
Okay, yeah,
I agree with that. My picture is getting demoted, I am playing favorite. This is great.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the dankest meme of all?
It'd probably be funnier if you put one of those over your mouth, too, upside down.
It gets less human and even weirder when it, but, you know, it's funnier to keep the humanness of it. The one thing I did think about doing, though, that I may still do, is tilt the eyes a little bit, like cat eyes, you know?
No, I think this is perfect.
All right.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Memes on the radio. That's Freedom Fiends. So I want to talk about my brother. He's a lot older than me. You know, my dad's 95 and my brother's, I don't know the math, but I don't know, 70, something like that. And he means well. He's a good guy. You know, he helps anyone who needs help. He's that kind of guy, that kind of neighbor, that kind of friend. But
howdy-o, neighbor.
Yeah, but he bugs me. And one of the ways he bugs me is giving me presents I don't want. And here's a good example. So have you guys ever heard me talk about the
ghetto mailbox I used to have in San Francisco?
You may have.
Okay, anyway, so real quick. When I lived in San Francisco for a long time, from like 86 to 2001, and I had a P.O. box because I've had a P.O. box since I was 17 because I've always wanted a P.O. box because I got a thing because my family was nosy and I wanted to order weird things from the back of Rolling Stone magazine and, you know, not have my dad go through my mail. But then I've always had one ever since. And one good reason to have it is if you're any kind of like mini celebrity, like I've always been in several different worlds, you know, you want to be able to do commerce with people, but you don't want to like publicly post your home mailing address because people actually show up. It's happened to me. It's weird. It's creepy. But so I had a P.O. box in San Francisco and it was in this beautiful old building at 7th and Market. Gorgeous building, you know, not great neighborhood, but, you know, like better than where it ended up. After the earthquake in 89, they closed that building because it was dangerous. And moved to all the post office boxes there to the post office up in the Tenderloin, kind of nearby, which is the Tenderloin is like Skid Row in San Francisco. Okay. And
it's also one of my favorite parts of a woman.
Steaks. Well, it got the name. People say it's the shape of the neighborhood, but it's really not. It's not a Tenderloin steak. It's because going back 100 years in the Barbary Coast days, you could get away. They said you could get away with anything in that neighborhood as long as you gave the cops a tenderloin steak once a week. That was the price of the bribe to run your brothel or opium den, literally, in that neighborhood. And now it's basically where, you know, drug addicts who are on public assistance get piss in the sink hotel rooms. And, you know, die, slowly die or quickly. So it's that kind of neighborhood. So suddenly I went from this like decent, gorgeous old building post office to, I didn't care about the building. It was the neighborhood. I went to like the worst neighborhood in the city pretty much every time I checked my mail. And I couldn't change it because they gave me the same P.O. box and I had it on businesses and licenses and stationery and everyone knew it. And I had, this wasn't back when you could send an email to everybody. It was like, I don't even know who had my mailing address, but people did. You know, it was printed on one of our records, like, you know, for another copy of this record, send money to. So I couldn't really change it easily because they don't forward stuff for very long. So I had this horrible neighborhood post office. It's the post office. Put it this way. One time I pulled up to lock my bike to the usual parking meter I'd lock it to go and get my mail. And there was broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, workday, weekday. There's a junkie shooting smack using the parking meter as a tourniquet, pushing his arm against it. Oh, just standing on the street corner, trying to find a vein with blood streaming down his arm.
Oh, geez.
So there, more than once in this post office, there was a pile of human poo in the corner.
Oh,
this post office, because it was also general delivery for that neighborhood. So people without a fixed address could get their SSI checks there, too. So you know, it smelled like urine constantly. Actually, if people want to Google this, go on search this 101 Hyde. Reviews, 101 Hyde Street post office reviews. There's, what's the site where you can review anything?
Yeah, I do remember your post office.
You remember that?
the Yelp reviews.
We read some
of
them. I mean, like, everyone's like, you know, I went in and there was a pile of human excrement, and it's not you can't do anything at this post office. You can't buy stamps. All you can do is have a P.O. box or, you know, if something won't fit in your P.O. box, pick it up from the window and wait in line for an hour with stinky bums. So one time, my brother sent me, Yelp. Yelp doc, just search 101 Hyde, H-Y-D-E, reviews, those of you playing the home game. And read along and think of what a glorious life I had. So my brother sent me one Christmas, like, you know, it's like 70 degrees. It's a warm Christmas in San Francisco. I ride my bike down the hill through the hood, like the where you get shot. I would ride down the hill through the Fillmore on my bike going there. But I'd always like take Haight Street going back up because it was safer. Because like I could go down through the hood where they'll kill you if I go fast enough because none of them are good shots in the hood. So I get this little thing in my mailbox that says, you have a present. I'm like, oh, okay. And I went and stand in line the window for 25 minutes. Get to the front line. It's a giant box. I take it outside. I'm like, I can't even fit this on my bike. I open it up in the post office, and it's a coat from my brother, and it smells like mothballs, and it's a thick pea coat for like really, really cold weather that would never be appropriate in San Francisco, even on like foggy summer nights. It'd be too heavy. So he sends me this coat. He's like, with a note, like, I wore this for years and I'm passing it on to you, little brother. I'm like, I could have bought this at the Salvation Army around the corner for less money than he spent shipping it to me. And there was no sentimental value, and it smelled like freaking mothballs. And it was kind of worn. It wasn't like classic or anything. It was just, you know, used, heavily used. So I just walked out and hung it on a parking meter and rode away.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sure someone probably used it for a blanket to keep from being, you know, for armor to keep from being stabbed or something. I don't know. It's horrible. But that's my story of people who think they're doing you a favor when they're not. And I've had a lot of people in my life who think they're doing a favor when they're not. And I've actually written a book about how to deal with those people. It's called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. It's a paperback book on Amazon. I'll link it in the show notes. And it's also a free ebook and free audiobook. Somebody actually, I forgot about that book, but someone started a thread about it tonight about how great it was. And, you know, it's basically like kind of non-pussy ways of dealing with people in non-violent ways, but getting them the freak out of your life. And I commented to somebody like, yeah, it is a good book. And, you know, if the techniques don't work to get bad people out of your life, you can hit them on the head with the spine of the paperback.
That'll work.
Yep. All right. So anybody got any stories about people doing you favors that really aren't favors?
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it was, but it seemed like almost every Christmas for at least a good 10 years, this particular person would always give me presents, specifically clothes that were purple. And the idea was because I like to wear, or I should like to wear, colors. And because
it's the only color that's not a gang color in town.
No, I mean, purple's a gang color. I used to really like wearing black, and this particular person thought I looked better if I wore colors. Which, okay, that's fine.
Like family,
of course, family.
Okay,
immediate family. Immediate family, yes. And it was like, okay, look, there's a whole rainbow of colors to choose from that I would love to wear. You know, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, pretty much all of them except for pink and purple. Why purple of all the colors? And it was the same thing every year. Purple, purple, purple. Purple shirts, purple pants, purple everything. Purple quilt. I mean, you name it. It was like, okay, the purple thing is getting a little out of control now. And I had to lay it down one year. Like, no any more purple things. I'll just hand back to you. I understand what you're trying to do. I'll start wearing more colors, but please, no purple. Why purple? So
what do you get for the man who has everything? Not purple.
Yeah, not purple. Always purple.
Well, maybe they were trying to get you to join the purple gang.
the grape street gang.
It's supposed to, well, purple is what, red and blue, so it's kind of like the ambassador to the Crips and Bloods.
We got to read that thing about how sad all the alt rights are. You guys want to pull that up?
Did not hear about this.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface.
Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both a website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Oh, those are good.
I don't know what that is.
It's like
the Waffle House is awesome.
It's like a Denny's that's open 24 hours and your server cooks your food while she's smoking a cigarette.
Yep. That's an accurate description of the Waffle House.
Have you guys ever been to Pantyhose Junction?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
I don't know what it is.
It was a truck stop in, like, I don't know, Needles, California or something. Somewhere in, you know, somewhere between L.A. and Nevada that you only would ever go to get to L.A. or Vegas. And it was all of the waitresses were like used up showgirls. So they're all like, you know, 50 and kind of like not just 50, but like rode hard and put away wet, like really like leathery faces. And but they all had amazing legs and were all wore pantyhose and short skirts or, you know, so it was a pervy truck stop where, like, you know, you weren't there for the food kind of thing. It's weird. Google it, people. Pantyhose Junction.
Yeah, there's like some truck stops here in Vegas that I have to drive by every once in a while. I can tell you where it's at. It's out of Tropicana, right next to the 15. And every once in a while, you'll see like these old. You could probably tell they were like showgirls back in 1960 when the town opened, who were like, you know, walking up and down the the aisle of trucks, waving at guys like, no, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The lot lizards.
Yep. Lot lizards.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, so
I've never heard that term before, and I live here.
Never heard the term lot lizard.
Nope.
I think it's more of a trucker term.
It's the like tore up speed hookers that'll, you know, give you whatever at a truck stop for $10 or $5. Lot lizards, because it's probably because their tongues are always going from speed and from what they do. So.
They're always licking their eyeballs.
That's what it looks like. That's what the show picture tonight looks like. I'm doing. Licking my eyeballs.
Photoshop a tongue.
You get a lizard tongue.
So, James, did you have any stories about... You said your family gives good gifts, right?
Yeah, my family figured out that cash is a good gift.
It really
so,
is.
You so that, that's, it. You know... Yep. you can buy whatever you want with it, you know. Instead of having to sell, you know, the gifts for below value in order to buy what you actually want, you're able to just get what you want. And it's way better way to do things.
Cash if I can. I always like giving Amazon gift certificates, because cash also just still kind of feels a little crass to me and to a lot of recipients, although a lot of recipients say it, but they really want cash. I always did. Put it this way. I would have rather had the $15 my brother spent sending me that ratty coat that I threw away than the ratty coat and have to throw it away. Everything exactly. He sends me feels like an assignment. Like, here's a ratty coat. Get it dry clean because it smells like mothballs. Here's my like 200-page handwritten manuscript. Read it, you know? No.
That's not a gift.
So, do you guys want to talk about how the alt-right is feeling bad and they need a safe place, safe space?
Isn't that the whole point of the alt-right is they want a safe space from anyone who isn't just a white Christian? Isn't that their whole deal?
You know, that's what I was thinking about your friend giving you the purple. You said it's red and blue. Maybe they're trying to be patriotic but remove all the white.
Oh.
Weird shots fired. Okay, let's read a little of this article. What's it called?
Oh, is it alt-right groups will revolt if Trump shuns white supremacy, leaders say.
And what's this in?
This is in The Guardian.
It was also in HuffPo, but yeah, the Guardian. Oh, Guardian did an article this week called stabbings at American malls on Boxing Day. Boxing Day. Do you know what Boxing Day is, you guys? It's weird.
They don't have that.
I was born on it, but no.
Why aren't you born on the 25th, Jim?
No, I was born on the 26th. Boxing Day.
So Boxing Day
or Kwanzaa.
Sounds like, you know, you go watch a fight in Vegas. No, it's not cool. It's actually really elitist. It's the day that after Christmas that the gentry would let their servants celebrate Christmas. Okay, you've cleaned up all our boxes and put them away. Now you can go in the slave quarter or the, you know, down below deck of the mansion and have your little pathetic Christmas. That's horrible, man. That is
horrible.
And there's a name for it.
That's the origin of Boxing Day, huh?
It's
pretty terrible.
But apparently there were a lot of fights in malls around America and Walmart today.
The day after Christmas.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I don't know what day it is. All right.
Oh, this is the day after observed Christmas.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When the final element of treason, it's not good when you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all.
Alright, so before we go into the alt-right and why they need a safe space, because they're sad.
Alt-right groups revolt, Trump shuns white supremacy, leaders say. Leaders like...
Richard Spencer.
Yeah.
Hey, that song.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, it's kind of ironic. I was Jim Jesus is amazing. Best meow in the game. Does his own podcast, The Lulberts. They have their own app. I built that. He's a great guy. Wonderful guy. He doesn't do so well with structured radio. Like, he would not be welcome in any newsroom, which is usually not a problem on The Fiends, and it's never a problem on The Lulberts. But you had one show link you were supposed to have up. So,
I don't believe in no-show prep.
The irony is, so we tried to start this before the last break, and I said, take it away, James. I did what's called in the radio biz, throwing to James. Okay. I threw to James. James didn't catch it. It like hit him in the groin and fell on the ground, and he kind of like pushed it around with his foot. Pushed it around with his foot and said, everybody wins at this soccer. So during the break, I said, come on, guys, let's do this right. Pull up this thing. We're going to read some of it and talk about it. And Jim said, I don't need any stinking show notes. And then I said, come on, for this you do, you know, because you're proving yourself right there that you do need show notes, show prep. So I said, James, I don't have it up, but I know the story. You guys haven't read it. I've read it. James, can you send the link to Jim? And Jim was like, I don't need that. Don't send it to me. So he sends it to Jim, and I'm looking at the subject of it from a previous email using the same subject is, who says we don't need show prep?
Lols.
Lols. Yep. All right, so before we get
into that's how story, I found the link, by the way.
Yeah, I want to interrupt my. I may take the rest of the show off and let you guys do this because I got to go do something. But cat problems in the other room. So, but I wanted to say the funny thing about the whole situation with BitPark coin using our ticker symbol was that our market cap went from like 12 grand to like 100 grand. And we went up like 100 spaces on the listing of top 650 cryptocurrencies. Nice. And we went, but it wasn't real. It was like our stats mixed with their stats. That's what the computers were all reading. So, and our price went up 500%. So everything's fixed. We're gently going back down the top 500, 650. And, but the price is kind of still up and it looks like it may stay still up. So, but, we were the second most for that while the most profitable crypto note coin to mine. It used to be we were the second most for a long time. Cannabis coin, I don't know why. The coin where you can't do large transactions because they fail. Because pot. Gee, a pot-powered, you know, currency. But there's actually a coin called Potcoin that works, but this is like the little retarded brother of it. No, it's getting better. They're going to try to fix it. But that was usually the first, and we were usually the second. And Monero, which is far more valuable, is way lower on the list of profitable mining crypto notes because everyone's mining it. You know, hundreds.
Yeah, I could not even get the minimum half Monero to get my payout for
I
that
did
mining pool
before they got listed, and it took me like a day of mining to get a third of a Monero, which was worth less than the electricity. But anyways. So there's a new mining pool, and I just posted it. If you go to BitPark official, it's there. But I'm gonna actually read the call letters. The call letters, that'd be funny, the call letters of this pool. So it's BIP dot MS as in multiple sclerosis - pool dot net dot UA. I look UA up. I thought it was United Arab Emirates. It's actually Ukraine, but it's a very cool pool. It's bip.ms-pool.net.ua, and I'll link it in the show notes tonight, but check it out. All right, I'm going to go to show with cats. Have a great show, guys. Thank you for your service.
All right, so I guess I'll start off this article. The alt-right groups will revolt if Trump shuns white supremacy, leaders say. Prominent members of the American far right predict that the warning influence on the presidential elect could trigger discord and vengeance within the movement. Donald Trump will disappoint and disillusion his far-right supporters by eschewing white supremacy, according to some of the movement's own intellectual leaders. Activists who recently gave Nazi salutes and shouted Hail Trump at a gathering in Washington will revolt if the new U.S. president fails to meet their expectations, the leaders told The Guardian. The prospect of such a disillusion and am I reading that right?
I'm not quite sure.
Let's Google it because internecine. There we go. So the prospect of such disillusion and internecine, whatever, squabbling may console liberals who fear a White House tinged with racism and quasi-fascism. The analysis is all the more reassuring because it comes from far-right influencers and analysis and not for wishful progressives. So
good.
The people who are actually pushing for these ideas are the ones saying, "Yeah, Trump's not gonna be as much of a fascist goy as he thought we were gonna be." and we're gonna get mad if he don't. But
yeah, they're gonna get mad that they don't get. They're gonna cry and scream and kick their legs and be like, "Oh, we didn't get our safe space from the Muslims and Mexicans." They're gonna, the babies. They're babies on the alt right.
Yeah,
I don't. I view the alt-right the same as I view, like, the SJW left.
Cultural justice warriors.
Yeah, exactly. Cultural justice warriors is all they are. They're the same thing as the SJWs.
Yeah. They're just fighting on different teams, whereas rather they want a world free from white people, they want a world free from people who are not white. So they want the same thing.
You know what's going to be funny is when they end up teaming up to work together to, like, say, like, okay, all the white people go here and everyone who isn't white go there, and then boom. They figure that out. I hope I didn't just give them an idea. They're probably going to end up, they'll realize that they want the exact same thing and team up eventually.
Yeah, there was this alt-right guy on YouTube who used to, like, pour over maps of the United States and, like, look at the demographics and kind of go, okay, so white people can have this area, the liberals can have this area, libertarians can have New Hampshire. We're just, like, dividing up the country in these huge maps. And then, like, he'd, like, post update videos, like, okay, I was wrong about this state. I think this state should go to the black people and the mestizos should have this area. It was like, really, you're putting way too much effort into this. You know, this is never going to happen.
Way too much effort into that.
Yeah. But Trump's like a Rorschach. You kind of can project anything you want on him as though it was his policy, because he's been on every side of every issue on the entire campaign. So also, you can say
he doesn't,
like,
really take issues. He doesn't stands on he speaks in, you know, fourth grade level sentences that you can put your own meaning in. Like, make America great again. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, there's
everybody has their own definition.
Everyone,
of great.
Yeah, everyone has their own opinion on what he's talking about when he says, "Make America great again." To these people, he's thinking, you know, talking about, like, the heyday of, you know, white people being running everything and oppression for all minorities. That's what they're thinking when he says, "Make America great again," and, you know, that may not be what everyone thinks.
Yeah,
it may not be what everyone thinks. You know, he's probably not referring to that. And they're, you know, I guess they could feel betrayed because they projected their own opinions on him.
Yep.
And he, you know, he just kind of let them do it.
Yep. Instead of enjoying going back to the article, instead of enjoying proximity to power, according to this analysis, the vocal parts of the loose coalition known as the alternative right or alt-right could remain on the political fringe, wondering what would happen to their triumph. Quote, their hearts are bigger than their brains, unquote, said Mark Weber, who runs the Institute for Historical Review. Wow, I wonder where that's going. An organization dedicated to exposing, quote, Jewish Zionist power. That, I knew it. Quote, saying they want to be the intellectual head of the Trump presidency is delusional, unquote. Jared Taylor, a white supremacist who runs the self-termed Raced Realist magazine, American Renaissance, said the president-elect had already backpedaled on several pledges that he had fired up the far right. Quote, at first, he promised to send back every illegal immigrant. Now he's waffling on it, unquote. Wow, didn't see that one coming.
Like, that was impossible. That's an impossible, like, really? Of course he's not going to do that. I mean, how is he going to, how could he possibly deport, what are they saying? Like, there's 11 million illegal immigrants or something like that. I mean, the amount of resources required for an operation like that would be, like, no.
Insane.
It was an impossible promise. It's like the wall.
But the wall is actually a little bit more tangible.
Vermin Supreme going and promising every American a pony is more plausible and possible than deporting 11 million people and building a giant 30-foot wall.
Yeah. David Cole, a self-proclaimed Holocaust revisionist and tacky magazine magazine columnist, envisioned a movement sliding back into bickering and infighting, stuck in, quote, rabbit warrens of online trolling rather than policy shaping. Well, that's what you kind of get with these kind of populist SJW or alt-right movements, right? Is they're going to go back to eating themselves, because that's what they do best.
They do.
Quote, in January, Trump
will... You see that with both the SJWs and the CJWs. Yeah. They eat their own like crazy.
Yeah, because like one will just say, like, oh, I think trans women should have rights. Like, how do you see trans women? What about the trans men and gender fluid people? You are clearly an alt-righter and you want a white, white supremacy.
It's funny how they accuse they accuse their own of being the other too.
Yeah. Well, in January, Trump will start governing and will have to make compromises, even small ones that will trigger squabbles between the alt-right. Trump betrayed us. No, you're betraying us. We're saying Trump betrayed us and so on. The alt-right's apprentice, the appearance of influence will diminish more and more as they start to fight amongst themselves.
It's the great triggering. I love that. It triggers squabbles. They're so triggered right now.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
So we're talking about how the alt-right needs her
safe space. In my safe space.
So moving down this article a little bit, the casino mogul turned Republican insurgent electrified his group during the election by calling undocumented Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals. He vowed to deport 11 million, he's talking about Trump here, 11 million undocumented people, banned Muslims from entering the U.S. and build a wall on the southern border. He now shows a disavow. He was slow to disavow an endorsement from David Duke, the former Ku Klux Klan member. He put Steve Bannon, who turned Breitbart News into a platform for the fall right, in charge of his campaign and rewarded him with a senior White House post. A few weeks after Trump's victory, however, an innocuously named National Policy Institute, which espouses an ethno-state for an Americans of European descent, held its annual conference in the Ronald Reagan building a few blocks down from the White House. Its leader, Richard Spencer, concluded the event by shouting, "Hail Trump, hail our people, and hail victory," an English translation of the Nazi exoneration, Sieg Heil. For some, audience and members gave the Nazi salute. Some observers saw the worst fears realized. But some of the far-right's intellectuals saw something else, sabotage and delusion. It was an idiot conclusion to a conference packed with other speeches and panel discussions, said Brimlow, who addressed the gathering. Yeah. Do you want to read?
No. You're doing good.
I'm doing well. Yeah. So you have like all these people who are kind of projecting, because Trump is a Rorschach. You know, you kind of can project whatever you want on him, and this is what they saw in him because he had all these policies. And now they're realizing like, oh, no, he really was a Rorschach, and he has his own plan, and it wasn't in line with what we want. And now they're kind of upset.
Well, he kind of fueled it, though, with his promises to deport all the people, to, you know, to ban Muslims from entering the U.S., building the wall. You know, he fueled this quite a bit. So it wasn't like he was completely just projected upon. He definitely fueled this, but I think that they took him, they, you know, took him just making ridiculous promises a little bit too seriously. Did he really mean any of that? I highly doubt it. He was just saying things because he saw it rallied people up, you know, build the wall, you know, they have people chanting it, so of course he's going to keep talking about it.
And wearing those spandex wall outfits. That was one of the best things ever. Taylor, another speaker, agreed. It was going very well until then.
Richard Spencer.
Has said that the way he has closed the talk was meant as pure irony, and I hope that's the case. And that was all ironic and over exuberance. I don't think anything that was... that had any whiff of Nazism is a particularly effective way to bring Americans or even Europeans to an effective understanding of race.
Cole to said an effective of, understanding of race. I really want to know what he meant by that. what is an effective understanding of race? What is he talking about here? This group is ridiculous. This whole alt-right movement is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they're going on about race realism, you know, Holocaust revisionism, Holocaust denial outright, you know. It's just, why won't they just say we're neo-Nazis? Like, just come out and say it, okay? I'll have a lot more respect for you if you stop hiding behind some ridiculous alt-right label. Yeah. Just come out and just admit what you are, say you're a neo-Nazi, and we can move on from there, and I can make fun of you for being a neo-Nazi. Instead of me having to be like, point out, hey, look at what you're saying right here. You're totally a neo-Nazi. just admit it.
It's easier to fudge the numbers if you can get people like Lauren Southern or Milo or Steve Bannon to say they're alt-right without actually understanding what the alt-right is, because I don't think they're alt-right. They don't think they understand what alt-right is. And no, so they go around saying that they're alt-right, and then people kind of turn around and go, well, I like Milo, so I must be alt-right too. But you're not. And so they can kind of look, we're having influence on the election. Hillary's even talking about us. We're making progress. It's like, no, you haven't really green.
That's exactly what they're doing, though, is they're trying to... It was like when they started calling themselves... you know, white nationalists instead of white supremacists. And, you know, they slowly change their language.
Meow. Worms.